Well, face front, true believers, and welcome to episode 4 of the Face Front podcast. And today we're going to be talking about Thor Ragnarok. Now, the movie's been out for a good long time, so you all have had plenty of time to watch it. So we are all going into deep, deep spoiler territory, which means I'm going to be discussing the movie as if you have seen it, which hopefully by now you have. Now, like always, this podcast is going to come with a giveaway, and this is going to be the Marvel Legends Hela figure. So, if you want that Hela figure, I'm going to ask a trivia question near the end of the podcast, and you listen for that question. Once you have the answer, you tweet at FaceFrontBlog with the hashtag podcastprize, and then you tweet the answer. Again, at FaceFrontBlog with the hashtag podcastprize, and that Hela figure will be yours. Now, I want to get into the movie. Let's start. Where to start? This movie had so much packed into it. Like, let's just go over all they had included. When I heard that not only were they going to have the Ragnarok storyline with Hela, and then they were going to include Surtur, and then Planet Hulk, and Grandmaster with the Contest of Champions, and the Fenris Wolf, and everything. Oh my gosh, this movie, I was wondering, how are they going to fit all of this in the one Thor movie? And they did it. They did it, and they did it really well. They Ragnarok'd it. Sorry about that. Alright, so, starting off, Thor, he's, you know, off doing his thing. They kind of addressed what he went to do in Age of Ultron, but they just dismissed it. It was kind of like in The Avengers, when Coulson goes to Tony, and Tony's like, oh, I thought I wasn't cleared for the Avengers initiative. And Coulson's like, this isn't about personality profiles anymore. They kind of just dismissed that whole end portion of Iron Man 2 because they didn't have time to deal with it. So in the beginning of this Thor movie, when he's narrating to the skeleton in his cage, he's like, yeah, I went to space to search for some magic stones. Didn't find any. So like they addressed that whole hot tub scene in Age of Ultron and then just dismissed it. Like, they acknowledged that it happened, but they didn't really have time to deal with it, so they just kind of skipped past it. And, you know, they kind of did the same thing with the end of Dark World, when you think about it, because the end of the Dark World, Thor refuses the throne and goes back to Earth, and next thing we see, Loki is Odin. And they spent about 30 seconds on that. Like, Thor discovered immediately, thanks to a tip-off from Surtur, telling him that Odin was not an Asgard, that Loki was Odin there, which was a pretty funny scene with the play enacting the Loki's death scene from the Dark World and Matt Damon cameoing as Loki. That was a fun scene. I actually really enjoyed that. But what I really want to talk about is the opening of the movie when Thor is in Muspelheim, assumingly it's Muspelheim, that's where Surtur resides, and he's, that opening sequence with Thor fighting Surtur and all of his fire demons in Muspelheim, that is all I've ever wanted from a Thor movie. Like, if Thor Ragnarok was literally just that opening sequence, I would be fine. Thor fighting Surtur, just being awesome with the hammer, with the immigrant song playing in the background, that was great. That was great. Now, that big snake thing in Surtur's lair, like, I thought that was the Midgard serpent. I mean, it was a little small and died a little too easily to be the Midgard serpent, so it very well might not have been. But then again, they haven't done the Midgard serpent, and it kind of looked like him. I don't know. It might not have been, but... So then Thor gets back to Asgard, and we see that the Executioner is actually the new Beholder of Bifrost, which, I mean, like, here's the thing with the Executioner. I heard that they were going to have him in the movie, and I'm like, are they going to have Enchantress? Because Executioner normally follows the Enchantress around, but she wasn't in the movie. And so in the trailers, I saw him following Hela around. So I was like, oh, they're going to put Scourge in the role with Hela that he would normally play with Enchantress. Here's the thing, though. I didn't expect Scourge to be like a true, like a good guy, essentially. Like, I didn't know he was going to start out as a, you know, as Guardian Warrior, and that he was going to turn. And he didn't, he never really turned. To be called the Executioner, he didn't execute anybody. He just followed Hela around and got uneasy whenever she ordered him to do something, and he got, like, looks of dissatisfaction whenever she killed someone. So, like, you know, the Executioner wasn't really the Executioner from the comics. In the comics, he's much more bloodthirsty. He's more willing to execute people. Like, he has his title, but, you know, I guess this is their version of the Executioner, and I was fine with it. I liked the redemptive arc he went through, and especially in the end when he screams for Asgard and he jumps out with his AKs there and starts lighting up Hela's guys. He had a good heroic send-off. Better than I can say for the I'll get to the Warriors 3. Okay, so Thor, like I said, gets back to Asgard, discovers Loki's Odin, stops that mess. So then that's when he takes Loki to Earth so they can find Odin. Enter Doctor Strange. And it looks like he's come a long way from Kamar-Taj. It seems like he's got the sorcery thing down. We just pick up on that after credit scene we saw in Doctor Strange with Thor and him. And he's teleporting all over the Sanctum Sanctorum. He left Loki falling in a hole for half hour. That was pretty funny. That was a fun scene, and, like, kind of to remind the audience, hey, guess what? Doctor Strange is still out there. Like, you didn't need Doctor Strange, but, like, I'm certainly glad that they had Doctor Strange in there. It was really fun. I love it when these heroes cross over, even if for a brief moment, like a Falcon in Ant-Man. That was a cool thing. So, Doctor Strange leads them to Norway, where they find Odin. Now, we all saw the trailers where Hela busts Thor's hammer up in an alley, and supposedly Odin was going to be like a homeless guy in the alleys of New York, but they changed it, and they put him in Norway, and I think that's a lot better, actually. Like, a lot of the times you see scenes change from trailers, you're like, why did they change that? You know, like the big in The Amazing Spider-Man, remember they had that scene where Peter's writing on the chalkboard, and in the actual movie he just wrote down a piece of notepaper. Like, well, that was a little underwhelming. They should have kept the chalkboard scene. But this, I'm glad that they put Odin in Norway, because number one, Norway, Norse mythology, that whole thing. And number two, was just a much more, I don't know how the scene in the alley went, but this was a much more, you know, graceful send-off for Odin. I mean, we spent three movies with the King of Asgard, and, like, I was perfectly fine with the way he went out. He sat there with his two sons by his side. He basically told them, you know, there's not enough time left. She's coming. Your mother would be proud. And he just fades away and blows away into the wind. I was like, you know what? That was a goodbye, Odin. It was very, very peaceful, is the word I guess I'm looking for. A very peaceful way for Odin to go. Very cinematic. I was fine with the way Odin went. And then Hela comes into the scene. And, like, right when Odin dies, it's like it triggered it like that. He said his life was keeping her at bay. And so the second he's gone, she shows up. And she breaks Thor's hammer to pieces. And so then they get called back to Asgard. Thor, Loki calls them back to Asgard, and Hela tags a ride in the Bifrost, and then that's when they both get knocked out of it and end up on Sakaar, while Hela arrives on Asgard, and literally just destroys Volstagg and Fandral. I love this movie. Like, everything about this movie. The only thing I did not like about this movie, the one thing I had a problem with, was the way they just discarded the Warriors 3 so unceremoniously. Like, okay, Hogan was fine. I appreciated what Hogan did because he actually stood his ground and he fought against Hella and he had a nice little harrowing line before she killed him. But Volstagg and Fandral didn't even get a chance. Fandral had no lines. If I was Zachary Levi, I'd be like, am I going to get out of bed for this? Literally. Volstagg's like, who are you? Sword's dead. Fandral's like, oh crap, she just killed Volstagg. Let me go try the sword's dead. Like, no! We spent two movies with these guys. They were, I mean, they weren't huge parts of the first two Thor movies, but they were Thor's buddies, you know? And, like, I heard a suggestion that, you know, maybe this should have been at least one scene with them before this. Because literally, they, like, we see them and they die. There should have been one scene where Thor gets back to Asgard before he confronts Loki as Odin. Just been like, hey, guys, what's up? Where have you been up to? What battles have you been fighting? They're like, hey, Thor, haven't seen you since the Dark World. What have you been up to? But no, they just, oh. Marvel, I heard they're bringing the one-shots back. They need a Warriors 3 one-shot. Because what they just did them straight up dirty in this movie, I swear. I know a lot of normal movie-going goers don't really care about the Warriors 3. Like, oh, weren't those the guys from the other movies? Oh, well, they're dead, I guess. But, you know, the Marvel fans, like, can't just send the Warriors 3 out like that. Part of me is glad that Jamie Alexander was tied up with Blindspot and couldn't come back as Sif, because, I mean, who knows what would have happened? She would have been like, freeze, wench, and then she, sword's dead. I don't know. I'm glad that Sif is probably still out there. Maybe she'll show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, hopefully. So, now that that's honestly the worst part of the movie, and the only thing I didn't like. But Hela shows up on Asgard, destroys the Warriors 3, takes down all of the Ainonyar, just plows through Asgard. And here's one interesting thing I found. So, like, take us back to the Civil War trailer. When Captain America is like, sorry, Tony, I wouldn't do this if I had any other choice. He's my friend. And then Tony's just like, so was I. And you hear the sadness in his voice, and it's like, oh, heartbreaking. But when the actual movie comes out, when he says, so was I, he's like, he sounded a little angry. Because, you know, Bucky, he just figured out Bucky killed his parents. It's real subtle, but you listen to it. The trailer, he sounded sad. The movie, he sounded angry. So, that circles back to Ragnarok. In the trailer, and the part when Hela invades Asgard, she's like, I thought you'd be glad to see me. And she says it like, you know, cocky, like she's on top of the world, like you're really not going to be able to stop me right now. But in the actual movie, when you hear her say it, she's like, oh, I thought you'd be glad to see me. Like, she sounds sad about it. Like, she actually thought that they would be happy to see her. Like, she was, because, you know, she reveals in the ceiling all this hidden Asgardian history that her and Odin were the OGs and they went through conquering realms. And so she thought that Odin going soft would have ticked off the Asgardians and that they'd be happy to have Hela come back and return them to form. So, like, when she sees that, no, they're ready to fight her, she's actually sad. She's like, I really thought you'd be glad to see me. And, you know, it almost makes you feel sorry for her. Then you realize, oh, no, she's literally there to kill everybody. So, yep, there's that. So then we switch to the other side of the universe where Thor arrives on Sakaar, enter the Planet Hulk stuff. We meet Valkyrie, who's in a boozed up disgrace because of what happened to the Valkyries. I assume that this is Brunhilde. Like, in her flashback that Loki gave her, we see a big blonde Valkyrie sacrifice herself to save her, and that looks more like Brunhilde, but assuming that, you know, Tessa Thompson is the Valkyrie, I'm gonna go ahead and assume that she's Brunhilde. So, we meet Valkyrie, she's all upset and disgraced and whatever because she lost her team fighting Hela. And so now she's just a junker for the Grandmaster. She collects Thor, and she knows full well who he is. She calls him Your Majesty and everything, but she's not really, she doesn't care. She's lost all will to fight. So she turns him into the Grandmaster, and I gotta say, Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster, perfect casting. He's just the right amount of eccentric. Like, it seems like he could be the Collector's brother. The Collector they established in Guardians of the Galaxy, they seem like they're brothers, that they would go well together. And they capture him, they imprison Thor with Korg. Loki has been there for weeks, apparently. I'm not sure how the time jump worked, but apparently weeks pass on Sakaar that don't pass. It was weird, because like, they were in the Bifrost, but Thor got knocked out seconds after Loki did. I'm not sure how that whole thing works, but, you know. So Thor gets imprisoned with Korg and Meek, all the whole Planet Hulk crew, except for Lady Ellaway and the rest of them. But that's when he confronts the Hulk. I gotta say, you know, we got a taste of Thor versus Hulk in Avengers on the Helicarrier, but a taste is all that was, because this was Hulk versus Thor, okay? This was the two of them pounding at each other for keeps, all right? Hulk's upset, Hulk's angry, Thor wants to get back to Asgard, and they're going at it. And Thor doesn't have a hammer, they're just whamming the crap out of each other. And again, with the whole, I think that this whole movie threw shade at Age of Ultron, because they kind of made fun of the lullaby, where Thor comes up and he's like, sun's getting real low, sun's getting real low, calm down, big guy, you know, and he keeps saying that to Banner to keep him calm. I just thought that was it was clever, and it was one of the funnier moments of the movie. Nice little callback. But, you know, Hulk, and I don't know who would have won, honestly, if Grandmaster hadn't cheated. Because Thor, we figure out, oh, wait, he can get lightning without the hammer. That's wonderful. And he hit Hulk real hard, and Hulk took it personal. And if Grandmaster hadn't cheated, I honestly do not know who would have come out on top of that fight. But that was very satisfying to see, that whole fight with them. Oh, goodness. Such great stuff. So, you know, Thor then works with Hulk and Loki and Valkyrie to get back to Asgard. He sees what's going on Asgard with Heimdall. I liked Heimdall's role in this. Like, he was kind of a, you know, bumming it around the lower parts of Asgard. But he had to, because if you remember, in the Dark World, when Odin comes to... Odin sets... He locks down Asgard after the Dark Elves invade. And so then he heads to the Bifrost when Heimdall's like, I'm here to report treason. And Odin's like, whose? And then Heimdall's like, mine. And you're like, you don't see Heimdall after that. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Like, this has always bothered me about the Dark World. I'm like, literally, Heimdall turned himself in for treason. And we don't address it at all. So I guess when we get to Ragnarok, Scourge said that, hey, Heimdall was, you know, he was charged for treason, and he ran. So now we see where he's been, and that gave me some kind of closure. I don't know if anybody else was wondering about that, but that's something I've always been wondering about since the Dark World. So we see where Heimdall's been. He's been bumming it around the lower parts of Asgard. He takes the sword so that Hela can't get anywhere, so he's stuck on Asgard. Which, okay, I'm not the plot hole guy. I don't like to point out plot holes, but this is kind of a big one. So Hela needs Heimdall's sword to get to other realms and conquer them. But in the first Thor movie, we see Loki open the Bifrost using Gungnir. That's Odin's spear. Hela had access to Gungnir the entire time. It was in the throne room. So So I don't know if they just overlooked that, if they just forgot about it, but, you know, I don't want to think too much on it, but that's a loophole. That's a plot hole. You know, she had Gunnir. She could have opened Bifrost with Gunnir, but she was adamantly going after Heimdall's sword. Maybe she didn't know. Let's just say she didn't know. She didn't know that she could use Gunnir to open up the Bifrost. And we'll leave it at that. Okay. So, I like also that Heimdall, speaking of, while we're still on Heimdall, that he was saving all the Asgardians and shepherding them to this big safe house, big doored room in Asgard. Like, I liked that he was kind of the leader of the, I wouldn't say resistance because they weren't really fighting back, but, you know, he kind of shepherded them. He took command. I wish the Warriors 3 could have been with him, but, you know, whatever. So, Thor and Banner and Loki and Valkyrie all have to get up through the Devil's Anus and get back to Asgard, which they hijack a ship, and they do, and that's when the final battle ensues. Now, this final battle was crazy, because there was a lot of things in the trailer that was not in the movie. Like, when we see Thor and Hulk and Loki and Valkyrie all standing on the Bifrost confronting Hela, like, that wasn't there. And then, we know, in the fight with Hela, Thor loses his eye, and, like, all the trailers, he had both eyes. So, you know, the trailers were real misleading on this whole final battle, but I'm fine with that, actually, because, number one, they can't spoil that, and number two, it leaves more surprise. Because, like, I'm going to go back to The Amazing Spider-Man 1 again. When I watched that movie, I loved the school fight way more than the final battle. And I'm like, I wonder why. And that's because they showed almost all the final battle from The Amazing Spider-Man 1 in the trailers, and they hardly showed any of the school fight. And so, like, I had seen most of the final battle in The Amazing Spider-Man before I saw the movie, but I hadn't seen, like, any of the school fight. So, I'm glad that they hid away most of the final battle in Thor Ragnarok. Loki arrives with, "Your savior has arrived," and Thor summons the lightning, starts taking out all the undead warriors on the bridge. Hulk throws down with the Fenris Wolf, which my friend that I saw with Jonathan, he was upset that Heimdall didn't get to take down the Fenris Wolf, because he does so in mythology, but if you're gonna give it to somebody, give it to Hulk, you know? And then Valkyrie, she gets her chance to go at Hela again, get revenge for all of her fallen warriors. Like, the whole final battle is cool. That's when Scourge has his big harrowing moment. Heimdall comes down, fights back, and then eventually they realize, okay, well, we can do whatever we want to Hela, but she, as long as she is in Asgard, she is invincible. So next step, destroy Asgard. Did not see this coming. Did not expect this to happen. I did it. I had no idea how they were going to stop her, but then they just came out of nowhere with, "We need to trigger Ragnarok." I'm like, oh my goodness, that was so unexpected. I didn't think about it. I didn't think it was going to happen, but Loki goes, he gets Surtur's crown, puts in the internal flame. We know he swiped the Tesseract. We just know that for a fact. That's not a question. But he brought Surtur. Surtur grew to the size of a mountain and literally destroyed Asgard. Now, a lot of people are saying Hela lived. I mean, bringing down the full force of the Twilight Blade upon her, I would assume that got rid of her, but she is the goddess of death, so she could very well still be alive. So Surtur, they destroy Asgard. I'm like, wow, okay, in the MCU, Asgard is gone. Like, are they gonna go to, where are they in the comics? It's like, Illinois or Kentucky? Oh, where is Asgard in the comics? Louisiana, I think. It's over some random state, in the comic books. And I'm like, wow, okay.
I don't know if that's what they're going to do, since now everybody on Asgard's on that ship, but Asgard, you know, the Realm Eternal, it's gone. Surtur destroyed it. So, like, when you think about it, this is a very impactful thing for the MCU at large. Like, a location is gone, but it was gutsy, and I didn't see it coming, and it was refreshing. This whole movie was just so great. So in the end, they saved all of Asgard, and Thor, it becomes the true king, takes the mantle of king. I love, you can hear they're playing the Sons of Odin in the background, like they were playing it during his coronation in the first Thor movie before it got interrupted. So this is kind of like a full circle ending where they're playing the song, he marches up, he sits down, he becomes the king of Asgard, and everything's perfectly fine. Until Thanos shows up. We're going to assume it's Thanos, which is upsetting because from what we hear in the Infinity War trailer, the Guardians of the Galaxy are flying through a bunch of wreckage and Thor hits their ship. Like, they just saved all those people from Asgard, and Thanos is going to, he's going to destroy them. So that sucks. Yeah, it really sucks. But, you know, I think he's coming for Loki. I really do. Because think about this. In the Avengers, when Loki has his little mind communication with the other, Thanos' lackey, and he's talking to him. He's like, if you fail, you know, if the Tesseract is kept from us, there'll be no crevice, or no barren moon, or, you know, nowhere in the universe we can't find you. So, if you think about it, going on the assumption that Loki swiped the Tesseract from the vault before Asgard was destroyed, Thanos is making good on his threat. He's coming back for Loki. Like, hey, guess what? You failed, and the Tesseract was kept from us. So, remember that whole part where nowhere in the universe we can't find you? Guess what? Found you. So, yeah, don't know how that's gonna end. But, okay, anyways, thank you, I guess. That's the, Thor Ragnarok review. I, once again, really enjoyed the movie. Lots of fun. Stupid what happened to the Warriors 3, but otherwise they got all kinds of good Marvel comic stuff in there. All kinds of Easter eggs, references, callbacks, which will lead me to the trivia question. In the Grandmaster's arena on Sakaar, we see at his castle, his palace, has the heads, head statues of several different Marvel characters. You know, name one of them. Name one of the stone heads on the Grandmaster's castle. And you will win that hella. Again, tweet your answer at FaceFrontBlog with the hashtag podcast prize. And the question is to just name one of the stone heads on the Grandmaster's castle. Because they're all Marvel Comics Easter eggs. So if you have to go back and watch the movie again, or at least look up the image online, go check it out. But that's your question. That's it for my review. I hope you guys liked it. I hope you guys liked Thor. And remember, true believers always face front, and I will see you in the multiverse. Bye.